T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. We got a lot to discuss today. The day before the NBA draft, we'll get to that. Of course, the Phils last night, bad job in Texas. 2 losses in a row. Now a 4 o'clock game today, so hopefully they can bounce back this afternoon. We'll talk about that. More from John Tortorella as the Flyers' new head coach, the Eagles as well. Really all of it on the table and all of it with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, pal. How are you?
I'm good. Boanthropy is a psychological disorder where the sufferer believes he or she is a cow or an ox.
Oh,
and then
on.
They live their lives as cows or oxen.
We're talking about humans?
Human beings. And there was a famous example, Book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar actually lived his life away from humans, grazing like an ox.
Get out of here.
In fields.
It's this real.
It's boanthropy, man. It's real.
How yes. many people suffer from it?
Not like, many.
Yeah. Two.
I would imagine.
One. Negative one.
Made up?
What in the made up? Yeah, Seltzer goes with the made up variety. All right, let me tell you what's not made up. Phils have had a good June, but look, this is not a, I want to be so clear out of the gate. This is not a sky's falling viewpoint. All right, the Phillies obviously have had a great June. They've had a stumble here the last 2 days, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Far from it. But I will say, watching that game last night, I'm watching and I'm thinking to myself, I'm concerned about the Phillies. And I want to find out, 215-592-9494, if others had a similar line of thinking as I did while watching that game last night. And I want to tell you why. First off, John, the first thing that struck me, I mean, after you find out Bryce Harper's out of the lineup, and he hopefully will be back today, if not today, hopefully tomorrow. Like, he'll play soon. But the first thing that struck me is when NBC Sports Philadelphia flashes the lineup on the screen, like the game's about to start. Tom McCarthy was like, here's the starting lineup. I look at it, and there's not one player hitting 300. And then I'm looking at it a little closer, and I'm like, all right, the highest guy batting average is Didi, and he was in like the 270s before the game started. He has since gone down. After that, the next guy's batting, I think it was 251 entering the game. So I'm like, that's not so good. No, obviously that's without Bryce. That hit me. Then I'm watching the game, and I'm like, all right, well, Didi's back to stinking. He stinks again. He had like 3 good weeks. But he stinks. Didi stinks. He's going to finish hitting 230. We all know that they got a nice little surge for about 3 weeks there, but he's going right back to what we expected, so he stinks. All right, the bottom of the lineup, 7, 8, 9, stinks. It's horrible. And remember, guys, this what I'm saying here is not to rag on the Phils. What I'm saying is, in a season in which they're going to have to work at it to make the playoffs, they're going to have to work at it to get to 88, 89, 90 wins to get that third wild card, which is obviously going to be at a higher number than we initially expected. A loss like last night, and it's nothing about Kyle Gibson. He was fine. He goes 6 1/3, gives up 3 runs. Like, that's fine. But I'm looking at the bottom of the lineup, terrible. I'm looking at no 300 hitters, and frankly, no one even close when Bryce is out. I'm looking at the end of the game when Familia comes in, and I say to myself, why haven't we talked more about Dave Dombrowski? I mean, the reality is, Dave Dombrowski got handed a tough situation from the standpoint Matt Klintak did not have a ton of young talent here. We all know that. Okay. Not great, but it is what it is. So what is Dombrowski going to do? He's going to throw John Middleton's pocketbook, his wallet, his purse, whatever you want to call it. He's going to sign a lot of guys. He's going to trade for people that make a lot of money. Cool. Okay, good. So who were his choices in the bullpen? Who were his main choices this year in the bullpen? Who were the two guys making the most money this year in the bullpen? I'll answer the question. Corey Knebel, who has been a disaster. And as we saw yet again last night, Familia, who's been a disaster the whole way through. Knebel at least gave it 2 good months, then fell off a cliff and seems unpitchable right now. Familia last night, I mean, the manager is basically begging the guy to just give him some innings at the end of the game so he doesn't have to go to other pitchers that affects today's game and tomorrow's game. But he had to take Familia out because Familia was getting hit so hard in the eighth inning, 2 home runs. That guy is horrendous. That guy and the other guy, Knebel, were the choices of Dombrowski. What is my point? My point is, while the Phillies are at the very least an average team, I'm watching that game and I'm saying to myself, they just might not be good enough to make the playoffs. That's what I'm thinking. Now, I know we did a poll a couple days ago, and I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. We did a poll a couple days ago on Monday, and 66% of respondents said they expect the Phillies to make the playoffs. Come October, the Phillies are back in postseason baseball, and I hope like heck you're right, the 66%. But I'm watching that game and I'm saying, I don't think so. John, talk to me.
Come on, man. Look, it was frustrating to watch last night. Yes, I'll agree with you there. But it doesn't change the fact that this team feels like they've got a new lease on life with the manager situation. We were dealt a tough hand last night. Again, well, we're dealt a tough hand right now with you talk about batting averages. Gene Segura out until August.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper dealing with the infection from the blister. We don't have our top two guys at plate. So, yeah, that makes it tougher. But, Joe, they had a bad game. They had a couple bad games. And that's the first time they've lost back-to-back games in Rob Thompson's tenure. And now you're panicking. The first time they've lost back-to-back games.
Yeah.
In this new manager
tenure. And I said
they're
to myself,
15-4 this
month. I know, John.
Joe, they've been playing without their best player and their leader, and he's about to come back. And by the way, he's actually gotten better at hitting, I think, with all the extra swings he's getting as a DH.
He's amazing.
Yeah, it messed up his hand, but I think he's actually more consistent as a hitter. Perfecting his craft. They were not good last night, but that's the outlier. And it's not their identity. You got to expect realistic evaluation by Rob Thompson and his coaching staff, and then corrections, and they'll get things fixed. We have Schwarber getting on track. We have Reese last night, man, 3 walks. You know, that's nice seeing
that's
some old Reese come back.
Sure.
Yeah, we're still waiting for Castellanos, but I do think that'll happen. I just don't expect him to be athletic in right field anytime soon. I'm not going to, you know, jump in whatever pool this is you're swimming in.
But do you understand what I'm saying? But do you understand?
Pool.
It's not panic. I actually think it's reality. John, let me
give
you.
The reality is this team is solid and they believe and they are a better team than the individuals. Like the sum of the individuals makes a solid
whole.
And they're going to win more games than they lose. Here's what I expect. I expect them to scrap and figure out ways to win series, you know, for the rest of the season, because I think Rob Thompson wants that to be their identity. I expect them to be smart at the plate. I expect them to, you know, move base runners and do some of those little things. They take pride in scrapping, and they're going to scrap out these series.
But see,
when they win more series than they lose, they end up with a record that is significantly better than what we've ever seen while we've done our show.
Sure. Look, everyone's opportunity to weigh in. I mean, your reaction to last night's game. I'm curious, what were you thinking while you're watching that game or listening to it here on WIP? And obviously, just big picture on the Phils, who have had a marvelous, magnificent month of June. I mean, 15-4, you got to be kidding me.
You expect them to lose today? I don't. This is all doom
look,
and gloom
probably,
from you.
No, probably
today,
not.
Today, they're going to kick butt.
Wheeler's out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about, say, like, and again, I want to hear from everyone, 215-592-9494. Are you concerned on the Phils? Let me make this real simple, John. Let me make this really simple. I'm watching that game. I mean, the end of the game when Familia's in there and just the slop. And it was total slop. And I'm thinking to myself, the Phillies will probably miss the playoffs because Dave Dombrowski made the wrong choices in signing Corey Knebel and Familia. Like, you can make a case when all is said and done, it will be that simple. That they will miss the playoffs by 2, 3, or 4 games because these guys will cost them 6, 7, 8, or 8 games. I mean, we got to say, James, how many games as of right now? We're in June 22nd. Right now, compared to other pitchers that could have been signed for the same price tag that Knebel and Familia got. So I'm not comparing them to the worst pitchers in baseball. I'm comparing them to relief pitchers to get a little bit of coin, like solid coin.
Sure.
How many games would you say those two guys alone have already cost the Phillies?
Oh, man. I mean, you would have to say at least like 5 or 6.
Right. I agree with you. Sure. I think it's about 5 or 6.
Okay, they've been bad. But, Joe, we've got other guys in our bullpen, and we will add to this bullpen. Of that, I'm convinced. We've got other guys that they can use with more consistency, like Sir Anthony, like Connor Brogdon. Look, Brad Hand, he's better than Familia.
Well, he's one of their top three. It's Brad Hand, it's Connor Brogdon, and it's Sir Anthony. That's your bullpen.
Yes, and they can use those guys more. Last night, man, we didn't. We know Familia is just, it's pointless to even try.
It's horrendous, John.
But I do think Knebel, it's something physical. Now, I get so frustrated watching him try to do anything on the mound. But he wants this season had a good curveball. Now it's vanished. Like, I think it's a physical malady. I think he needs to get right. He can get that back. If he does, that'll help a lot. But the bottom line, I do not fear the bullpen's future, because I do think we'll add.
Well, listen.
Yeah, it might take in the next month, we will add.
Well, they better. And they better. I mean, I don't think Dombrowski's getting the proper heat for the decision to bring in Knebel and Familia, who've just been awful. Look, 215-592-9494. We can react to last night's game. If you view it as a positive that this 15-4 more rules the day, cool. I mean, that's your viewpoint. That's your vantage point. And obviously, the Phils have had a good month. But I look at them and I say, I think they're flawed to the point where they probably in the end won't get there. And I'll just say this and then write to the phones.
Man.
I'm probably the only guy that thought of Chip Kelly last night, but I'll say it. And it's not even just Chip. It was Howie and the 2014 Eagles. The 2014 Eagles missed the playoffs, in part because Nick Foles got hurt, but in part because they didn't have cornerbacks. They didn't have cornerbacks. They had the wrong cornerbacks. I remember being at that game when Dez Bryant caught those 3 touchdown passes. The Eagles lost whatever they lost to Dallas. Like, they didn't have cornerbacks. They missed the playoffs. I remember Philly season where they trotted out David Bell for an entire season when they shouldn't have. And they missed the playoffs because they made the damn freaking dumb decision to play David Bell every day.
Okay.
There are years when you can say, this is why my team missed the playoffs.
Hey.
And what I'm telling you, John, is I watched that game last and I said to myself,
the Phillies
are probably going to miss the playoffs.
They're not.
Because Dombrowski signed the 2 damn wrong relievers.
Okay, and one of them will get healthy and be better, and the other one we
just
don't
that,
need
man.
To use. We'll sign someone else. Here's the point. Like, I can't believe you're dwelling on 2 of the worst games we've seen them play with Rob Thompson as their manager. I can't believe where we've come from, Joe, as a show, watching these Phillies teams.
Yeah.
Think about where we've come from. We had one pitcher, and every September, he'd forget how to pitch. We had one guy who could hit.
Yeah.
Okay, and maybe Mikel Franco, like, I don't know, he had a walk-off, and then that lifted our hopes for him.
Sure.
It felt so inconsistent. We had one star on the offensive side, and it was Rhys Hoskins. We had one pitcher, and then we had a bunch of also-rans. And those teams were .500. Right now, I don't feel like this team is at risk to go any, you know, that .500 pattern that we're so familiar with. This is a much better team, and they've got a much easier schedule for the rest of the season.
Well, let's see what everyone thinks. I mean, 215-592-9494 obviously gets you into the show. I'll say this right now at the end of the calls. I hear you, John. The Phillies are better than they were those years. I agree with you. But the goal wasn't to become better. The goal was to become good enough. And I am concerned the Phillies might not be good enough. 215-592-9494. Are they, in your opinion? Are you concerned about the Phillies, or are the two games, two of which, both of which have been without Bryce Harper, just a little blip on the radar of a team that showed us in June they can play not only good but great baseball? Where do you stand? Let's kick it off with Colin in Washington Township. Good morning, Colin.
Yo, what up?
Hey, Colin.
Yeah, so I am a little worried that this team might not be good enough to make the playoffs. I mean, we can't develop any pitchers, it seems, and we don't have much of a bullpen, and half the fans wanted to run Hector Neris out of town. Well, you got your wish. The problem is when you completely rework your bullpen every year, you're only getting someone else's leftovers. You're only getting somebody else's Hector Neris. So that's kind of what we have right now. And, you know, Neris would probably be our second best reliever right now, maybe third. So I'm definitely missing him. I didn't understand the hatred for him. He just wasn't a closer. I get it. And I also feel like I got to throw some shade at Nick Castellanos. Maybe I can turn him around too. I mean, we know he's not going to get better as a right fielder. Actually, that reminds me. Did you hear on that Peacock game? I think they called him Mr. Right Field or Mr. Right Fielder or something. I don't know what that was about. I don't know if anyone else noticed that.
Did they get him confused with Peacock Roberto game. Clemente out there? Are they not understanding what a great right
has
fielder
he
looks
ever,
like?
Has he made any, like, quasi-athletic plays
he made
in right
one.
Field
he made
this
one.
Season?
Yeah.
This whole
there,
season.
I think it was in Atlanta. He made, like, kind of a running, jumping catch in Atlanta.
Yeah, but even that, it wasn't something to write home about.
He's a horrible outfielder. He's a
horrible, he never gets to the ball.
He shouldn't be playing right field.
He never gets to the ball.
He shouldn't be there.
So many balls drop to the ground. He's a left fielder at best,
and he shouldn't even be playing that, but he's a left fielder at best. He's out of position because Bryce Harper can't play.
There's no range
and again,
to
the,
speak
and
of.
Again, the general – I always call him the general manager. He's not the GM. Whatever the heck Dombrowski's title is. He signed or already had about four DHs. They are flawed in that Bohm, Hoskins, Castellanos, and Schwarber probably should all be a DH.
Yeah, and you know they're going to keep playing there, unfortunately, as we know, because Bryce isn't getting back in the field.
Correct.
We know we're going to be a bad team defensively. Bohm is just – not only is he physically bad, there's been twice this year where he's fielded a ground ball, looked at a runner coming straight at him, and then tried to throw it to first or second.
Yeah, like, but Colin, at least to Bohm's credit, he has gotten better. I mean, he has stabilized the ship from where he was in the first 2 weeks.
He had that nice catch up against the dugout.
Yeah, he's rebounded.
They're few and far between, though, those good defensive plays that make you go, wow.
Sure. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Bob in Springfield. What's going on, Bob?
Good morning, guys. Hey, listen, I'm not really concerned about the Phillies, you know, but my concern is the amount of talented teams there are in the National League.
Well, that's my point. I mean, I get John's point. The Phillies should be above 500. I agree, and they are. But my point is, will they be good enough to get to 88, 89, 90 wins to beat the Giants, the Padres, and all those other teams?
Right. I mean, you know, they're like the 15 now, you know, and they got to, you know, there's nothing they can do other than win. They can't control the other team's destiny.
Well, to John's point, they can make trades, but I think John overrates the extent to which trades will help the Phillies. I mean,
look, I think you underrate the extent to which we'll trade because of what we saw the last several years where they were afraid to spend across the luxury tax threshold. They've already spent across it. And now, so that does help our cause.
I mean, it does. You're right. The fact that they are already over it so they can just keep going over it, I agree with you. That does help. But they don't have the greatest bevy of prospects. I don't think Dombrowski's got the greatest track record, at least in the last year and a half that he's been here, of acquiring good players or good enough players in those situations. I mean, some of the guys you traded for last year, disaster. Knebel and Familia signings, disasters. So, no, I'm not a big, you know.
Garrett Stubbs isn't a disaster.
No, but he's the backup cat.
Okay.
But you're right.
But he can have a bigger role.
It was a nice addition.
I really like him.
Bob, go ahead, buddy.
Joe, Knebel is going to come around. I have no – I'm not worried. I don't know about that. I think he is. That's just my opinion.
He can't be worse.
Hey, listen, I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, but I had the winner to your contest.
Oh, you could have won and you didn't get in. What was your answer going to be?
Well, you know, what'd you say, the longest thing?
What's long?
Yeah, well, for it wasn't me, but it was John. John's ride in from Mechanicsburg for the first 6 months.
Pretty good answer, man.
That would have been a good answer. Yeah.
I tell you, Bob, that's really something. John, I mean, that was rough for you.
That
man.
Was so rough. I remember talking, like, we used to have conversations, be like, dude, you got to move here. Like, enough of this. You can't keep doing this. I remember that vividly.
It was trying.
And I do think, and I'm not ripping you, I just want to be clear, I do think it affected your preparation for the show. And
I was exhausted.
I don't want to say your interest in the show, but you weren't, it was hard for you to be as invested as I think you would have been if you were living here. And to your credit, you corrected that situation, moved here, and things took off. James, what do you got in there?
Yeah, we got some Sixers news, some ownership news. Woj tweeting out, Fanatic CEO Michael Rubin, a prominent minority owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, is selling his stake in the Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment Company that owns the Sixers and the New Jersey Devils. Team officials told ESPN on Wednesday. He goes on to say, Rubin, whose sources say holds a 10% equity share in HBSC, is divesting his 11-year stake in NBA and NHL franchises because of looming conflicts in the expansion of his Fanatics business into sports betting and individual player partnerships.
Wow. Well, first off, good, because I couldn't stand that guy owning the Sixers. I mean, I just thought he was just a wannabe hang-around celebrity.
Yeah, I do think he gave them some like, players like him and stuff, though. You know what
care.
I mean? I know, but that's the NBA now.
James,
do you
think it's good to start player parties with the owner?
I hate it.
Okay.
I hate it.
So good. Get that guy out of here.
But NBA players like that. I mean, to your point, you lament this stuff, but the NBA is where it is. It is what it is. Like, it's foolish to say I want it to be the way it used to be instead of embracing what it is and just dealing with it.
Well, he just annoyed me, so I'll just leave it at that. But
I agree with that.
Yeah, the fact that he's out, John, because essentially his empire got so big that the Sixers are now too small for him. I mean, that is like... holy mackerel, man. This guy wants to get into the world of, you know, sports betting and all that goes with that. And, of course, I can understand how that can run into conflicts with certain business interests. And, you know, maybe it was the league, maybe, that said, you know, to the Sixers, like, you got to pick. You can't go after owning this and being involved in this and also being a Sixers owner. And
sure.
So the end of Michael Rubin with the Sixers.
They've got rules. They've got bylaws. He's now sort of in conflict with them. So
John, what do you think?
I think I agree with Jimmy. What? He was a guy who, had a stake in the team that the players kind of liked and they would probably talk to and be, you know, open with. I don't know. I didn't mind him.
I couldn't stand him.
He seemed like someone who the players, I don't know, gravitated towards more than they would Josh Harris.
Well, probably. I mean, I'm sure that's true. Seltzer, Richie, you guys want to go in and try to buy the 10% of the Sixers?
Ooh, good idea, Joe.
I mean,
because then we can try to enact positive change. Actually get them to have their...
I think we need to get a GoFundMe.
That's cheapy, though. When you do the GoFundMe thing, that just looks weak. What about we call up Eskin? I mean, Howard probably... come on, man. He's like 70 years old. He's probably got some coin in his years.
Yeah, he should.
John, if we get Eskin, get Angelo.
Angelo would be important in this,
Who else? Who else here? We got to get... I mean, because we want to try to do well by the Sixers. I mean, to buy 10% of the Sixers, that's... Yeah, that's a big chunk of money
It's important. And you know what? Unlike Will Smith, we'll be courtside every game. Don't you worry about that.
That's right.
We'll show up.
We're not going to abandon. You know, Will Smith buys the Sixers, supposedly buys the Sixers 0.00001%, and then never shows up. 215-592-9494. If you want to weigh in on that, Michael Rubin news that he is taken off from the Sixers. They have become too small for his global business interest. You can weigh in on that again, 215-592-9494. Plus, something John Tortorella said. When he said it, when I heard it, I thought of John Ritchie because I thought, man, John's going to like this, the way this guy operates. How he plans to build, at least in part, to build toughness and to weed out the weak. What John Tortorella, the Flyers' new coach, said. We'll play that for you. We'll rock all your calls. We'll get into the 76ers as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. It's been a spectacular month for the Phils, but a downturn the last couple of days. And that's okay. What's not okay is I don't really have any hope on Familian being able to turn it around. And that is a problem for the next couple of months. I mean, you know, you got to have a certain standard to you're competing with the Braves, the Padres, and the Giants, and some other teams. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking at that game last night. I'm saying to myself, man, this is not going to be the easiest thing to make the playoffs. We'll continue to take your reaction, 215-592-9494. Speaking of reaction, James with more in there on the Michael Rubin news. If you missed it last second, Michael Rubin is divesting from the 76ers, clearing way for someone else, I guess, to own the 10% of the 76ers. James, what do you got?
Yeah, Yaron Weitzman wrote the book about the process and all that from a Fox Sports article. This is about how Rubin can help the Sixers potentially more now. This is directly from the article. One key question moving forward is what that help will look like now that Rubin no longer has to abide by league rules. As one high-ranking sports business executive who has worked with numerous NBA teams said, he's the biggest player in our business. Nobody has the relationships that he does. Nobody can connect with people on both the ownership side and the player side like him. And in a player-run league like the NBA, I really do think he can be in a competitive advantage. Weitzman says, to that point, according to multiple sources, the league office recently told Harris that Rubin, freed from the constraints of the league's collective bargaining agreement and anti-tampering laws, will be able to help the Sixers more than ever.
I mean, John, the first thing I thought of was Obi-Wan, because when Obi-Wan dies, he becomes more powerful, helping Luke Skywalker beat Darth Vader because he can talk to him from the afterlife. Is this a good thing? The NBA is a weird league, man. That is a weird league. Draft tomorrow night. We'll get into it more as we move through the show. 215-592-9494. Also, some Twitterella audio. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to Scott and King of Prussia right now. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Scott.
All right. So, John, let's see if I can sway you by the end of my call here. The Phillies are not a playoff team. Number one, the Penn. Number two, 5 out of 9 position players are well below the league average defensively. Number three, they are dependent. They are inconsistent on offense, which is supposed to be their team strength. Number four, they are one injury, Eflin, say, getting out of his car or slipping out of the shower away from having a starting pitching problem. Over the course of 162, you're going to see all these things manifest themselves at different times. And I know you're excited about them because of the streak, but I'll just remind you that most teams, if you look over the course of a long season, most teams go on a 10-game winning streak.
A 10-game winning streak. Most good teams probably go 8-2 in a stretch.
This team.
Most teams do not go on a 10-game winning streak.
The Phillies never do that over the last decade.
Come on. Most teams do not go 10 games.
Scott, I mean, the 9-game winning streak was their best winning streak since 2012 or
whatever. Scott, you were on. Everything you said was accurate until you said most teams go on a 10-game winning streak. That's just not accurate.
Take a look. Okay, maybe not most teams go on a 10-game winning streak, but over the course of a season, you'll have a hard time looking at the list of teams and finding one that doesn't go on a run.
Yes, that's correct. Most teams, if not every team, has a stretch where they play good baseball. Yeah.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Yes.
This is a flawed team, and until these things are corrected, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. And unfortunately, I think at some point you're looking at a rebuild, and that's not what everybody wants to hear, Scott.
The good news on that is that's still a ways away. I mean, I think the Phillies are not anywhere in a dire situation like that.
I think you could say every team is a flawed team, and every team is at risk if one of their starting pitchers goes down when he's walking in the parking lot.
Except for the Yankees. What are they, James? 50-17?
Yeah, I believe so. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
You imagine that? 215-592-9494. Obviously, we're all curious to find out what happens with Eflin. You know, his turn, I guess, would be, I'd have to figure it out, but maybe Friday or Saturday or something.
Saturday is when he's supposed to pitch.
We'll find out. And look, the good news is Bryce Harper, John, I mean, according to the manager, there's a very good chance he plays tonight or today. 4 o'clock game, by the way, today. So hopefully he can bounce back and get in there. Let's go to Amish right now. What's up, Amish?
What's up, guys? Long time no speak. How you guys doing?
Great, Amish.
So I unfortunately witnessed the misery of that game yesterday in person. I took my kids and my wife to the game yesterday.
Well, that's pretty cool, at least. I mean, you're going to a game. I mean, I know you live in, the Dallas area? Is that correct?
Yeah, I live in North Dallas.
All right, so you get to a game in the Texas Rangers Stadium. I didn't like it. I got to tell you, the visual last night, I couldn't stand on TV. Is that a dome? Is that a dome? What is the deal? No rain yesterday, right?
No rain. It's like 105 degrees.
Yeah, you know what? Everyone suck it up and get out there and play baseball outside. What is this dome? Because it makes it look dark. It's like watching a game in Tampa Bay.
It gets like really hot in Texas in the summer.
Suck it up.
You go out there and play.
Well, John, let me put it to you this way. Right now, I'm an hour behind you guys, so it's 9:40 here, and it's already 94 degrees. And it's getting
steep. Did they give you air conditioning last night also, Amish?
So I'm glad you said it first before I did. The only reason why I took my family and my kids, aside from wanting my girls to see their first Phillies game, unfortunately it was in Texas, but the whole place is air conditioned. It's covered. It's sealed. The entire place is like 74 degrees inside. It's actually pretty comfortable. But it looked just as gloomy inside as it did probably on TV. But my 6-year-old probably after the third inning said, "Daddy, we watch this at home and it's more fun. This is so boring."
Wow.
she couldn't stand the pace of the game.
It was rough. When we've got Gibson on the mound, he's slow. And yesterday it was a lifeless performance. It was a bad job by the Phillies yesterday. And I feel like Joe is taking that, and it's become like the canon, like what to expect. I don't think that's their personality. I think they had a rough day. You know, it was the day after a day off, and they just were off kilter. So it looked boring.
And by the way, Gibson, well, sure. Again, look, Gibson was fine. 6 1/3, 3 runs. I mean, that's from a fifth starter standpoint, that's pretty good, actually. But to your point, John, the hitters didn't hit. So, you know, I'll say this. They got guys on base. They didn't hit when they needed a big hit to to get some runs in.
Take advantage of the situation.
Amish,
good with the situational hitting on the streak, and yesterday that all fell flat.
You going to today's game, Amish?
I am. I plan to go again today, but I'm like, I don't know. I just don't think I can sit through 3.5 hours of watching them play uninspired baseball.
Well, it should be shorter,
today.
Man. Look, the ace goes today.
I think they'll turn it around.
Yeah,
today.
They'll probably win today. I mean, you got the best pitcher on the team going today. So, you know, probably win today. By the way, so two things quickly on the visual last night I want to touch on. I mentioned the one. I you guys know, man, I get it's hot. I mean, am I sort of joking? I guess a little bit. But I do prefer as a viewer that game appears to be outdoors.
Because I do too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I prefer it, but I also understand, like, you know, from what you hear, if you go to a game in Texas in the middle of the summer, it's pretty unbearable.
A lack of sunlight is a frustrating way to watch a baseball game when it just looks dark inside and the lighting's not good. But let me give major props to the Texas Rangers, to the Atlanta Braves.
What?
And a couple other teams. I think the Red
Sox.
Are
your Mets in there?
Huh? Mets and Braves? Your Braves
no,
fan now?
No, not the Mets.
You just quickly making your way around the NL East?
No, actually. You guys knock it off. There's about 5, maybe 8 to 10 teams in baseball, and the Rangers are one of them, and the Braves are one of them, where I absolutely love the way they configure their ballpark to have the cameras directly behind home plate and center field, so you get that dead-on view. When we watch a game, whether it was the Vet or Citizens Bank Park, our camera angle is slightly to the right, behind and to the right of the pitcher, so you get a distorted view of the strike zone when you watch it on TV. I mean, you know it's close to accurate, but it's not completely accurate. When you watch this game today at 4 o'clock, watch where the camera angle is positioned directly behind the pitcher, and it gives you a much more true view of the strike zone. I love it. The Braves do that. The Rangers do that. I love that. Check it out today, John.
I didn't realize that.
Look at it today, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And then the next Phillies home game, or probably wherever the Phillies are playing next.
Well, how does it make you feel when you've got that accurate view of the strike zone and you see the ump make the wrong call repeatedly, and you know that we have the technology to address and make sure he's making the right call
with
a little earbud that's telling him.
No, you're not taking my point and going there. James, you know what I'm talking about? Do you like that view?
Yeah, I do like the view. I do, and I did notice it. But, you know,
We don't get it often.
No,
we get
anytime it's not a huge deal to me. But
no,
I,
but
I do
it's a more true view. It's a more true view of the strike zone. Hey, we had to give away today a pair of tickets to see the Phils. This game coming up in a week. The Phils and those Atlanta Braves, Wednesday, June 29th, Wednesday of next week. 7:05 game, Citizens Bank Park. Coming up on the Phils schedule are two post-game Xfinity fireworks shows. One Friday, July 1st, obviously as we get near the 4th of July holiday. That's a 6:05 game. And then also on Sunday, July 3rd, a 7:08 game when the Phils take on the St. Louis Cardinals. For tickets to those games or any Phillies game, of course, you can go to Phillies.com. Again, a pair of tickets on the line today. Yesterday, the news was out that a couple of notable props from the world of movies was sold. You know, sometimes a big entity like what's the thing called? A Sothersby or
Sotheby's.
Sotheby's?
Sotheby's.
Sotheby. Yeah, I got it, right? So they sell. I don't know. So they'll be like, hey, famous people, give us something we can sell of your stuff, and we'll put it all together, and we'll attract these big people with millions and billions of dollars, and they'll come in and buy. So yesterday, John Wilson from the movie Castaway.
Yeah.
Just the freaking volleyball.
Yeah.
Was sold for $187,000. That damn ball with a little face on it. Was that a blood? Was that?
Yeah.
So that was blood that the face was. All right. $187,000 for Wilson. The hoverboard from Back to the Future, I think that's two.
Man, that was so cool.
Now, it doesn't actually work. It's right. Just, you know, basically a skateboard that they use as a hoverboard. That thing yesterday went for $106,000. So I ask you, John, I ask James, and I ask everyone today at 215-592-9494, what is a prop from a movie that you would want to own? Best answer by the end of the show, you're going to win the tickets for the Phillies game. Now, I want you to really think about this here. Now, to be clear, I don't think we're going to give a car as an acceptable answer. Yeah, like we'd all love to have a sports car.
Eleanor.
It's got to be something you could display in your home, so to speak.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, something someone walks in and it's like, oh, there's, you know, Wilson from Castaway. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes.
Although I think there are far better answers than just Wilson.
Yes.
John, give me an answer. I don't know if you're going Mount Rushmore or not. What is a prop from a movie that you'd like to own?
This is Mount Rushmore for me. Give me a droid. Give me the coolest droid.
Ooh, R2-D2 in your house?
That's a big answer right there.
Have an R2 in the corner?
Yeah, probably about 3.5 feet, right?
Yeah, I guess.
R2-D2 just hanging out in the Richie home.
Yeah, that'd be
A big answer right there.
That's a great answer.
And that is a prop, right,
that
James?
That would count, yeah. Again, I think as long as you can fit it in a room in your house and people come over and look at it, that would count for me.
Fair enough. Seltzer, give me a prop from a movie, and I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. A prop from a movie you'd like to own.
Happy Gilmore's gold putter.
Yeah, don't do it for me, too.
Really?
Because you don't like Adam Sandler.
I love that movie.
People would come over and see that putter and say, oh, my God, that's the Happy Gilmore putter? Seriously?
How
cool is that?
It's not the main thing that stands out to me. I'd rather have
Chubb's hand over the putter? You are insane.
Chubb's hand.
That is an insane answer by you.
I don't remember the putter being that big a deal. I believe you. There's other stuff I think of when I think of Happy Gilmore. Anyway, look, a lot of ways to go.
You didn't like Hustle, so your Adam Sandler opinions are
But I like Happy Gilmore. Look, a lot of ways to go. I'm going to go to a haymaker. Because, John, when people would walk into my apartment, and yes, it would fit in my tiny little apartment.
I am positive I know what movie you're taking your
go for it. On. Say it.
Rocky.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
And I'm not saying From the Natural either.
Wow.
I'm going right to 1939, even though they wouldn't actually help me transport myself to, you know, back to Kansas. I want the Ruby Red Slippers.
What?
John,
what?
They might be the most famous prop ever from a movie.
I don't know, man.
Dorothy's Ruby Red Slippers.
Wow. Judy Garland's shoes. You want shoes.
And I would have them shoes. I would have them in a case because someone like John Ritchie would come over and start mangling them and touching them with his dirty hands. I mean, they're in a case.
I wouldn't be that interested.
No one's allowed to touch Dorothy's.
Yeah, there's a lot from that movie that's more interesting than the Ruby Slippers.
All right, 215-592-9494. Give us a great prop from a movie. As James has laid out, it's got to be able to fit in a room in a house. Best answer by the end of the show. You'll win the tickets to the Phillies game next week. Let's talk to Matthew right now in South Philly. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, Matthew.
So I'm a little concerned, fellas.
Okay. Yep.
So right now the wild card sits at around 565, 570. Right. Last year, 88 wins got you there. This year, I feel like you got to win 92, 93 games.
Well, I don't think it's going to be as high as 92, 93. I think it's going to be 88 to 90. Now, are you saying the third?
I think 90s probably.
Look, 90, yeah. I think, would get it done, but not definitively. Matthew, are you saying that 80, would you say 88 or 89 was the third wild card last year?
88 was the Braves in the third wild card last year.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be more this year. So, like, to get to 91 or 92 wins, the Phillies got to be 93 is 54 and 37. So let's call it, 53 and 38. Do you really think they can be 16 games over 500 with this bullpen?
Well, so here's the answer. Can they? Yes. Do I think they will be? No.
Real quick, the third wild card would have been 83 wins if they had it last year in the National League.
Yeah, I didn't think, Matthew, you were right about that.
Oh,
so
really?
The Dodgers were one at 106, obviously lost one less game than the Giants, and then the Cardinals were 90-win team, and they were the other wild card. The Reds were the next team at 83 wins.
Okay.
And the Phillies at 82 right behind them.
Yeah, Matthew, I think many years it's going to be – I think a lot of years it's going to be 83 to 86. But to your point, this year it's going to require an 88 to a 90, maybe 91.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. I mean, there's good teams in the National League, and I agree with you. That is a cause for concern. Matthew, give me a prop from a movie you'd like to own.
I'll take The Golden Snitch.
And what is that from?
Great one. Harry Potter.
The Golden, what is it?
Snitch. What do you think that is?
I guess it's a snitch that's golden.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's something that...
What's it look like?
It tattles on people.
You really don't know?
It'd be like,
I thought you watched those.
I did, but only once. Remind me what the Golden Snitch is. I don't know.
It's the tiny little golden ball with wings that flies around, and they have to catch it at the end of the...
Vaguely remember that.
The Quidditch game.
Vaguely, yeah. No, I remember the Quidditch game. Yeah, they're all out there playing, doing their little thing. I remember that. It's like a little bit of lacrosse, a little bit of field hockey.
And Harry was the chaser.
Yeah.
The chaser has to...
I don't
track down
to
the snitch at the end of the game.
All right, so I'm listening to John Tortorella, NBC Sports Philadelphia, played some audio of Tortorella. He met with the media yesterday. It was an informal, off-the-record chat for a portion of it, and then there was some on-the-record stuff. And when I heard this this morning on NBC Sports Philadelphia, I thought of Richie, because I thought, oh, man, this guy is a Richie kind of coach. Now, John would probably be in training camp, cursing under his breath, because he knows the coach is driving him hard, but John would appreciate that the coach is driving everybody hard, trying to get the team to be harder, tougher, and better. I love the way John Tortorella laid this out. Listen to this. This is Tortorella on one of his approaches to trying to develop tougher players, a tougher team, and frankly, weed out the weak. Here's Tortorella on his approach to training camp.
It's a hard camp. And not so much it's hard physically, but more mentally. I want to see, who gives, who doesn't. And that's when you start seeing what you have and what you're trying to build. And I think you can get a mentality of Philly within your team. I want us to be able to go into cities and have a team say, it's going to be a tough game. They're coming. And... doesn't happen overnight. You're going to be mad. People are going to be mad because they see this or that, the other thing. It's going to take some time to go through it. But that's kind of my vision as far as where we go. And I don't think there's a better place to do it than in Philly.
John, I like this guy.
I believe him. a lot of coaches say when they get to a new team, hey, I've always wanted to coach here. This guy's brand. It just speaks to what we're all about.
Yeah.
And I believe him.
I like that guy,
that
man.
He wants to be here. I think he's tapping into something that absolutely can help win you games. And I wonder how well this is going to work with this, current crop. Might have to add more Philly-esque type
players. I agree with that. Yeah.
To make this truly work, but I like where we're starting.
Look, the young players should snap too, because they're young. They haven't made generally the big bucks. They're still trying to develop their career, and frankly, in some cases, they're trying to hang on to just prove they're an NHL player. Where I think these things get tricky sometimes are the veteran players who have made money, who have had accomplishment, and sometimes just don't want to be driven like that.
Right.
But, you know, tough cookies. If those players had done a better job this past season, then the organization would not have required a more task-masking, driven, will drive you to your knees head coach. I appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Ocean City right now. And, of course, if you want to react to what you heard from Torts, I mean, a few different pieces of audio over the last couple of days, and I like what it sounds like he's bringing here to Philly and what he's bringing to the Flyers, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Chris in Ocean City. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
All right, so first order of business, I just wanted to respond to Joe's offer to potentially be his campaign manager for 2048 bid.
Yep.
And I just want to say, hammer, meat, sickle. Let's take over the world.
Well, to be clear, I'm not looking to take over the world, Chris. As president, I'd be looking to serve the American people.
So you
seem to think of this as a joke. I don't view it as a joke. I'm trying to foster democracy, both locally and globally.
The hammer and sickle thing is an allusion to the Soviet Union, to Joe's despotic future.
No, Chris, yeah. Chris, you think this
he
is all funny
games?
He does
say he likes to be feted, right? I mean, we heard that.
Fet me. But Chris, listen, while obviously I'll be feted in the inauguration day and all that stuff, it's going to be get down to work time, man. I'm like Tortorella, man. I mean,
you got
to
start delegating right away, right? Delegate immediately. Jump in. You do this. You do this. You do
guys
this.
Think I'm joking.
Bath time.
Listen, I'm going to be
you know how much time the president as for just baths,
Chris,
and puzzles and all that,
Chris. Two words, Chris, that will suit what I will be: public servant.
Mm-hmm. Well, to serve that end, we're going to need to get you out there and change the narrative around you in the public. So I'm thinking maybe branch out history podcasts, audiobooks. Mm-hmm. We need to get in front of some
sure.
more of the untoward things that you've said. So,
yep.
Personal hygiene products, like maybe a toenail clipper that's just a set of dentures on a hinge.
Yeah,
clean it up down there.
All right, Chris, what do you got on our Philadelphia Eagles, my man? Talk to me.
Oh, yeah. So I just kind of wanted to start the conversation because I was thinking about yesterday, and I'm not sure where I lie, but just in terms of final season numbers for Jalen, what you would consider successful for him to get another year in the offense, so not necessarily playoff wins. But numbers, you know, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, what have you. So I'd love to hear you guys discuss that. And then for my movie prop, I would pick the outfit from Predator, but I wouldn't have it in my house. I'd wear it like every day.
All right, there you go. All right, Predator outfit. You got it. He's rocking that out there going to a Phillies game.
Be intimidating.
I don't know, John. Do you get caught up in the numbers thing? I don't think in – look, I'll just say this. I'd want his completion percentage to jump up probably by – 3-4%. I'd have to look up what it is.
It was 61%.
I mean, you'd want that to be in the mid-60s. And frankly, you want it to go higher than that, but you don't expect it to go from 61 to 70. You want to see the completion.
65 would be great for him.
Yep.
Last year, he had 3,144 yards passing. I'd like to see that, you know, 3,800, 4,000 would be outstanding. Man, surprising numbers to me, actually. 16 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. It feels small compared to the NFL norm.
But he runs a lot in.
Yeah,
so,
and that's why.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in. You know, 30 touchdowns through the air I think is asking too much, but he did add a lot of talent. I think A.J. Brown alone is going to account for a lot
no
more
question.
Of them. No question. You know, 25-plus touchdowns, keep the interceptions around 9. That'd be great.
I'll just say this. I don't get caught much up in the numbers because I think it's much more about just what you know you see when you watch him play than what the final statistics are. You guys know my deal. I want to see a quarterback that has a better pocket presence, better sense of the rush, when to escape and when he does not need to escape, and obviously timing with his passes to hit the players in stride on time as designed by the offensive coordinator and the head coach and get this offense moving the ball even more. That's what I want to say. 215-592-9494. Coming up, the 76ers. Tomorrow is draft day. There's a lot of rumors flying around about P.J. Tucker and other players. Eric Gordon. And I think there's a question about the 76ers that has to be asked that we have never yet asked on our show, and I think it's a pretty important one. What it is, I'll tell you next. I'll ask it next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Bet Parks is an official betting partner of the PGA Tour, so go to the Bet Parks app and check out special boosts and wagers for the PGA Tour. Download the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Make your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just use my promo code JRWIP. Bet baseball and bet more than the score with live in-game betting, and you can bet on individual player performances for hits, home runs, and strikeouts. Bet Philly today, a huge road favorite against Texas, our best ace on the mound. Bet $141 to win $100 on our baseball team, who will respond today. You can bet playoff hockey. Bet Parks is the only sportsbook and casino app that I recommend. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app is where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app. Download now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com and use my promo code JRWIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.